On the 250th anniversary of the birth of Ludwig van Beethoven, I, Patricia Salomone, present Beethoven, His Life and Times, with the assistance of my friend Gerald Fenech for the musical content. On November 14, 1815, Caspar Karl Beethoven, Ludwig's brother, lay on his deathbed. On a side table, Ludwig found the dying man's will. On reading, he realized that what counted to him most, the guardianship of his nephew Karl, had been changed as clause 5 of the will read, "Along with my wife, I appoint my brother Ludwig van Beethoven co-guardian of my son Karl." Beethoven flew into a fury and insisted with the dying man that the words, "along with my wife," be cancelled out. Satisfied that this was indeed done, Ludwig left his brother's home, quite unknowing that by the time his brother Caspar Karl gave up his soul at sunrise, the will had once more been altered. Beethoven was devastated to find out that before dying, his brother had added the following words to his will: "I by no means desire that my son be taken away from his mother, but that he shall always remain with his mother, to which end this guardianship is to be exercised by her as well as my brother. God permit them to be harmonious for the sake of my child's welfare. This is the last wish of the dying father and brother." The drama that was to ensue was to last years and years and tell heavily on Beethoven's health and on his musical production. At a watershed between what can be seen as the middle or heroic years of Beethoven's artistic output and the last and final phase, the court battles over Karl's guardianship were to interfere with Beethoven's creativity. Thank you. Why did Beethoven so adamantly want to take the child Karl away from Johanna, his mother? Before the courts, and Beethoven took this to the Landrecht court, Beethoven did his best to discredit the woman, to present her as some kind of whore who spent her nights out of her home, leaving the child with sundry carers. For Ludwig, young Karl, this one and only heir of the Beethoven name, the only offspring of the three brothers, was destined to carry through the musical tradition, and the only way for this to happen was for the child to be brought away from his mother, and to be brought close to the musical genius who was his uncle and who looked upon him as a father. The Landrecht was the upper court that only dealt with matters regarding the nobility. Beethoven, forgetting his youthful revolutionary spirit, mixed with the nobility who were the patrons of art. The fact that his Dutch surname, Van Beethoven, had been taken as being the German von Beethoven, which had the connotations of nobility, had long been overlooked. And this suited him fine. To further blacken Johanna's name, Ludwig van Beethoven did not hesitate from bringing up the old story of Johanna's bribe regarding the pearl necklace. By early 1816, the Landrecht pronounced in his favor. The 9-year-old Karl was taken away from his mother and put in a boarding school where Johanna made repeated attempts at seeing him. Beethoven took Karl out of the boarding school to live with him. Of course, Johanna used all legal tools to try and win back the guardianship of her son, and did not hold back on stating that Beethoven's deafness impeded proper communication, hence the proper upbringing of the young child. Thank you. Sometime later, the child had to undergo a hernia operation, and Beethoven, who was quite unable to take care of his own eating habits and his own health, was simply quite inadequate to handle the domestic situation. On 3rd December, Karl, unhappy away from his mother and embarrassed by his uncle's shabby appearance and rough behavior, escaped and went back to his mother. This time, Johanna went to petition the Landrecht, and at this point, Beethoven made the mistake that was to bring him embarrassment and disappointment. On being asked why he did not wish to adhere to Johanna's wish to send her son to the local public seminary, he rashly replied that, had the child been of noble birth, he would rather send him to the Theresianum Academy. These words shocked the court, for suddenly the judges realized that Van Beethoven could not provide any proof of belonging to the aristocracy. The case was therefore deferred to the lower court, the Magistrat, which, as could be expected, was more likely to find in favor of the common people, and did, in fact, find in favor of Johanna, who was able to have her son back with her. But Beethoven did not give up, and after several other attempts, took the case to the Court of Appeal, which finally, in April 1820, decided in his favor. Just imagine the harm that was being done to the poor child. This is exactly what his father had tried to avoid with the last-minute apostille in his will 5 years earlier. The whole affair would harm Beethoven's health and have a dramatic effect on the young Karl. The matter went on year in, year out, until the boy had grown into a very insecure young man, rebellious to his uncle's impositions. When he expressed his desire to take up a military career, his uncle was unwaveringly against the idea. Notwithstanding, young Karl's lack of any musical disposition, which was confirmed by Karl Czerny, musician and friend of his, Beethoven insisted on his plan. John Suchet writes, "It is not an exaggeration to say Beethoven was destroying the person he loved most in the world." Until today, admirers of Beethoven's musical genius struggle to accept his negative side, the negative side of his obstinate character, his disregard for others, his self-righteousness. By 1826, Beethoven's intransigence led to near tragedy when the young Karl, bored of a useless life, tired of subservience to his difficult uncle, of hearing his mother vilified, of ever being unable to pursue his dream, takes a dramatic decision. He purchases a gun, and going to one of his uncle's favorite haunts, the ruins of a medieval monastery outside Helenenthal, he shoots himself in the head. Bordering between life and death, he was found by a passerby and taken to his mother's home, where a distraught Beethoven rushed over, calling doctors and trying to avoid the happening from gaining public knowledge. Attempted suicide was a crime in Austria at the time, and once the matter became known, it brought shame on Karl's famous uncle, who was very concerned for his nephew's health, but also most distraught about the shame it brought on him, Vienna's most famous musician. Thank you. As his health improved and the scar healed, Carl insisted on wanting to go away to military service. He had his mother on his side, but most of all he had the support of Beethoven's friends and early biographers, Anton Schindler, Holtz and Stefan von Browning. We are fortunate to know all this in detail because, Beethoven being deaf, he kept conversation books. And as the saying goes, verba volant, scripta manent. And much of what was said between the participants in this nasty story has come down to posterity in the form of these brief written notes. While the family squabbles had been going on, Beethoven's musical career continued, notwithstanding several hiccups. He actually composed some of his most powerful music in those years. Suffice it to say that he composed the Missa Solemnis and the Ninth Symphony, debating with himself as to who to dedicate it to, whether to his faithful friend and supporter Ferdinand Reis, or to his powerful admirers, the King of Prussia, the King of France, or Emperor Alexander of Russia. While he was handling the delicate matters related to Carl's attempted suicide, Beethoven carried out a cordial correspondence with King Friedrich William III of Prussia and decided, finally, to dedicate to him his ninth and last completed symphony. In March 1820, Beethoven's most ardent patron, Archduke Rodolf, the Emperor's youngest brother, who was a fine musician himself, was installed as Archbishop of Olmütz. For the occasion, he commissioned Beethoven to write a Missa Solemnis. And notwithstanding his many commitments and his family troubles, Beethoven, grateful for the patronage and the financial support he had received for years from this important dignitary, sat down to write what eventually he considered to be his greatest work. And although this was not ready in time for the Archbishop's official installation, the Missa Solemnis was presented in 1823. Us on Campus FM for another episode of Beethoven, His Life and Times on Tuesday at 8 p.m. followed by a repeat on Wednesday at 10 a.m. You can also listen to past episodes on Campus FM webcasts.